Turn with me to John chapter 5. Verse 24.
What was the numbers on that, brother?
John 5:24. Now, when it rains, it just rains. You're standing out in the yard, and all of a sudden, drops of water begin to fall. If you ain't awful careful, you'll get wet. It happens. There's a lot of things that make it happen. There has to be some moisture carried into that vicinity in the air. And the warmer the air is, the more moisture it can carry. That's just science, knowledge. But you don't see all that happening. It just happens, but you don't understand. I mean, you're oblivious to it. You don't know that. Because we don't have a humidity gauge built into us unless it's arthritic bones. That may well be the case. But all of a sudden it begins to rain. You say, well, it's raining. All the conditions were right. All the elements was right. Everything was right for it to rain, and so it rained. Same thing with snow. Same thing with the wind. A lot of things happen. Faith happens.
Yeah. Amen.
Faith happens.
Yeah.
You don't make it happen. You don't help it happen. You made no contribution to its happening. But faith happens. Now, there's a lot of things that go into making faith happen. Faith, our believing the gospel, just doesn't happen without some causes. And the causes are divine. The first cause is the will of God. He determined to save a people before the foundation of the world. He picked them out. He chose them from among men. He chose them out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people upon the top side of this globe. Everything in this universe is set here for the glory of God in the through the salvation of his people.
Amen.
He determined in himself, according to his own good pleasure and his love for that people that he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, to save them and to give them the glory of his dear Son.
Mm-hmm.
Make them sharers, fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Believers are fellow heirs of the glory of the Son of God. Now, we cannot understand what that is. We can't get our head around what a gift that is. But imagine the splendor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his mediatorial office, seated at the right hand of the Father, this whole universe subject to him, every angel in heaven subject to him, all principalities and powers and thrones and dominions and things, that everything. That's ours. In him. And through him. We're fellow heirs with the Son of God. As he is mediator. Well, like I said, the first cause is the will of God. The second cause, well, not the second cause, but the procuring cause, the moving cause, is the purchase that was made at Calvary. Our Lord Jesus Christ purchased all the blessedness that is to be given us according to the will of God. He purchased that for us at Calvary. He redeemed us. He possesses us. And He will certainly possess and take what is His. Everything He purchased, He's going to have it. Let all the forces of hell oppose it, and all the men on the earth, and all the false preachers in every corner of this globe, He's going to have His people, which He purchased with His shed blood.
Amen.
That's just going to be. Faith is going to happen in them. They're going to believe. What are they going to believe? They're going to believe the words of this. They're going to believe the gospel. They're going to believe that God chose a people before the foundation of the world. They believe election. The elect believe election. They'll believe that the Redeemer purchased them with His precious blood on a cruel cross as He endured their curse for them and put it away forever. And they'll believe that God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come to dwell in them as a Spirit of life, as a Spirit of truth, as a Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of His presence in them. When they hear the truth, the gospel, they'll perk up their ear. They'll say, "Hey, there's a difference in that message." They'll believe it. Not because they're so smart, all of those things, but because it's been God's purpose to save them from the foundation of the world. He's purposed that in Himself. He's looked forward to the day when He would claim that bride for His Son. When she'd be called out, gathered together in Him, beautiful, all fair in the beauty of His dear Son. Look at John 5:24. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Well, now, it doesn't say you got to believe him and do anything else. It says he that heareth and believeth. Both of those things require spiritual life. If you can hear the gospel, and if you can close with it, if you can believe it, if you can take it in and digest it, if it causes you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all your salvation, that's a rare and wonderful gift. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now, it's not something that you're going to get later on. It's something that you possess, and that possession causes you to believe. You believe. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now look back at, look on over at John chapter 6. John Now let's begin reading in verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles. That didn't impress this crowd. Oh, me. Hearing the word of the Lord doesn't impress most folks. They heard the incarnate word of God and were not impressed. They weren't impressed until they began to have some loaves and fishes to eat. Well, that's the way it is today. People are not impressed with the gospel. They're not impressed with a church that preaches the truth. They're impressed if that church has got all kinds of programs for their young people. They're impressed if they've got volleyball and basketball courts and something for people to do in the wintertime. Big, elaborate banquets. That's what impresses folks today. But that ain't what saves anybody. And people say, well, that's how we're going to draw them in and then we'll preach the gospel. No, if you're going to draw them in that way, they ain't ever going to hear the gospel among you. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say to you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now it was pictured in the manna. God sent down manna from heaven, and the people ate it and lived upon it. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the true bread from heaven that a person may eat thereof and have everlasting life. In other words, may spiritually partake of him, trust him, believe him, rest in him for all of our salvation and trust in our own works for nothing and have eternal salvation. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Well, now what do you have to do to get it? If he gives it to you, you don't do anything to get it. So this you gotta do religion, and this you gotta do this, do that, do that, do that, do something else. That's a bunch of baloney. The Son of the Lord Jesus Christ gives his people salvation. Yeah. And that is manifested when faith comes and abides in their heart. When they believe. Him hath the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What must we do? Well, that's what man's problem is. He's forever got to do something to be saved. He thinks he can't just be saved out of the goodness of God. He's got to do something. He's got to earn it. There was a fellow visited this church one time. He sat back there somewhere. Came one time. I heard his report later on. He said, No, it's too simple. It's just too simple. There's not enough there for me to do. Oh, just believe. Well, that's God's way. Man says, give me a lot to do. People want to work out their salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ worked out salvation in his life and death.
Amen. In Calvary. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. did.
He finished the work. Then we partake of it.
Yeah.
Then said they unto them, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said unto them, this is the work of God. This is all you got to do. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Well, that's all there is to do. But not only that, it's God working in you to do that.
Amen.
It's the work of God. Mm-hmm. He puts that faith in us.
Yeah.
He puts the Holy Spirit within us. The Father sends the Spirit to us individually, the Holy Ghost, and he comes and takes up his abode there in what's originally hostile territory.
Yeah.
And he dwells there.
Yeah.
And he's there forevermore.
Amen.
He's the Spirit of truth.
Yeah.
They said therefore unto them, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You going to send down bread from heaven? Like Moses did. Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them manna from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. The Father was at that moment giving them the bread. The bread from heaven was standing right in the midst of them, talking with them. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They hadn't recognized it. Now, the reason they hadn't recognized it, because they didn't have the Spirit of truth. If they'd had the Spirit of truth, they'd recognized that the Lord talking about himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They would have believed on him. They would have been convinced that he was the promised one to come.
Yeah.
And they'd have ceased all their inquiries. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. Now to come unto the Lord there is the same as to believe on him, as he says in the next clause, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst after righteousness, after holiness. Everything that we need is in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Of God he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Amen.
He's our perfect righteousness, our absolutely perfect holiness.
Amen.
He is our wisdom, and he is our redemption. We are bought and sealed unto the day of redemption.
Amen.
But I say unto you, now listen to this, but I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now look at that. You've seen me. You've seen all the miracles that I did. You've seen the loaves and the fishes. You've seen all that. But you don't believe. Natural intellect won't get the job done. Faith is a living faith.
No. Yes, it is.
And it is by the Holy Spirit who lives, who dwells within us. It is the grace of the Spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now you've got every reason to believe. Everything that can appeal to man's natural intellect has been given you, but still you don't believe. Natural man, he's a failure. Failed in the garden. He's failed every test that he's been put to. And it takes the Spirit of God within us to give us life. But when he's there, the fruit of his presence is he gives us faith. He causes us to believe on the Son of God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now that's just a straight statement. There's no doubt there. All the Father giveth him in time, he has given him in eternity past, they're all going to come. They're all children of the covenant. God the Father has declared that they'll come. God the Son has bought them, and God the Holy Spirit, he'll draw them. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Well, now wait a minute. Hold on. What if I believe, but I just don't hardly, I ain't hardly ready? Well, if you believe, you've already been made ready, and you are ready. You've already come to the Lord. Whether you're ready or not got nothing to do with it. Well, I've got this or that or something else I've got to do. The Lord's already apprehended you. Now, he may settle a lot of issues with you along the way. He may guide you, and he will. Through a lot of mazes, a lot of sorrow. It may take a lot of affliction. You may have to pass through some really deep valleys. If he'll convince you. He'll get your attention. He'll let you know that he is the center and circumference of your life. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, as a private individual person, because he came down here in full investiture of the office of the mediator of the everlasting covenant of grace. He came down here to do what had been agreed on in eternity past between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. not the least, not the weakest, not the worst. All that he hath given me. He's a faithful shepherd. We're his sheep. He will not lose any. In David's flock, there was a bear and a lion that came out and tried to take his sheep, and David killed them. Our Lord, not a sheep loser. I can't understand these people that believe that you can be saved and then lost. Go in and out like a swinging door. That makes the Lord Jesus Christ as his salvation absolutely worthless. And his blood of no value. His blood sealed the everlasting covenant of grace once and for all eternity. His precious blood accomplished the redemption of his people. And his decease that he accomplished at Jerusalem accomplished the life of all his people, and they had absolutely nothing to do with it. They didn't participate in it, not one iota. They receive the benefits of his groaning, suffering death. They're his beneficiaries. They're heirs. You don't work out an inheritance. You receive it. Somebody gives it to you. And it's out of their goodwill. But should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of everyone that seeth the Son and worketh real hard. No. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. Faith happens.
Yeah.
And it happens by the hearing of the word. God generally gives his gifts as men hear the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah.
I don't say that's true in every case. There may be a persecuting Saul, but he heard. He heard the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had determined to save that man before the foundation of the world. And the Lord gives children to godly parents, and they hear. Those that are the Lord's, at the time appointed, believe. Probably won't happen to them the way they thought. They might have thought that an angel would come down and say, speak to them. No. The Lord put them in the presence of somebody that God had put his gospel in his mouth. Causes them to sit under the gospel. And he puts his spirit in them. And his spirit bears witness with their spirit that what they're hearing is the truth.
Yeah.
And they close with it. And they'll never be the same. Never, never be the same. And God might lead them on in this world for 90 years. And as the evil days come, when old age begins to do its number on you, you find no pleasure in the things of this world anymore. you bear fruit in your old age. Your strength increases in the Lord, and you're separated more and more from this world. Thank God for afflictions. Thank Him for the sorrows, all the trouble. That separate us from the folly and vanity of natural man.
Amen.
That separates us from this world. God won't let His people go too far. He might send you a heart attack. Might be the best thing ever happened to you. Come out from among them and be ye a separate people. Mm-hmm. Well, I would that the Lord would visit today, put His Spirit. In our hearts. Let us know that we're His. Of course we know that. I look forward to the time when the Lord Jesus will come again. And I know that you do too. Come put an end to all this foolishness down here.
It's here, right?
He's coming.
Amen. Brother Jim.